times, past and present, who have opened the doors of wisdom, reuniting all beings with their intrinsic purity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. The recitation of this rosary ever expands the awakening of faith in the three jewels, Bodhi, Dharma, and Sangha. Bodhi Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the perfect nature of truth for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Dharmam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the teachings for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. Sangam Saranam Gacchami, Dityampi Tatyampi Saha. I turn to the holy order for guidance. Again and yet again may it be so. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Do vow the noble truth of suffering. Do vow Sandaya, the noble truth of the origin of suffering. Do vow Nirodha, the noble truth of the extinction of suffering. Do vow Nirodha, Gandhini Patibhava, the noble truth of the path that leads to the extinction of suffering. So long as these four noble truths are not understood, we shall wander in sorrow and ignorance. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. All formations are transient, anicca. All formations are subject to suffering, dukkha. All things are without self, anatta. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Namo prajna paramita hridaya. Homage to the wisdom in the heart. Form is not different from emptiness. Emptiness is not different from form. This is the teaching of our spiritual ancestors, Gautama Buddha, and all the great teachers who have transmitted the Dharma to this holy day. Blessed is the knowledge of emptiness. Homage to the devotees of this and all paths of self-purification. May all find simplicity, the joyous and practical guide. The Dharma, being the contents of enlightenment, in which there is no bondage and no suffering, offers freedom from the hangers of ignorance and fear. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Sangha is the holy order of spiritual ancestors, monks, priests, and all those who follow and practice this path. Homage to the Sangha. Homage to all who are approaching this holy path. Homage to all who follow and establish this holy path. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. By compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. By compassionate aspiration that harms no one. By compassionate speech that makes for clarity. By compassionate self-discipline that brings no regret. By compassionate livelihood that brings no discredit. By compassionate endeavor that results in goodness. By compassionate mindfulness that proves this path. By compassionate awareness that leads to nirvana. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this reservation, I do confirm my acceptance of these three pure precepts. The precept of restraint and religious observances, the precept of obedience to all good laws, the precept to benefit all sentient beings. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. With this reputation, I do confirm my acceptance of these 10 great prohibitive precepts. Not to lead a harmful life, nor to encourage others to do so. Not to take that which is not given. Not to commit or participate in unchaste conduct. Not to tell lies nor practice believing the fantasies of authority. Not to use intoxicating drinks or narcotics, nor assist others to do so. Not to publish other people's faults. Not to extol oneself and slander others. Not to be avaricious in the soul of the teachings. Not to be angry. Not to speak ill of this religion or any other. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. In the practice of loving kindness, in the practice of pure attention, in the practice of ever-expanding faith, in the practice of constant devotion, in the practice of inquiry through correct jnana, and in this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Oh, happy blessed day. Oh, happy blessed place. Oh, happy blessed time. Oh, happy blessed path. Oh, happy blessed opportunity. In this way, I do most deeply vow to train myself. Here, in humble submission, in order to experience this most perfect now, I deeply vow and sacrifice all thoughts, all tensions, all pressures, and desires. I am born of karma. I am heir to karma. I abide in karma, and I am supported by karma. Whatever I do creates karma, and I shall surely experience this karma. The merit for all good acts I do freely offer to all beings. Again and yet again, may it be so. Willingness is the name of the key to the gate of awakening. Or even to awaken from deep sleep and grace the new day, there must be the willingness to do it. Here in my hand is the opportunity, and the way is clear beyond the gate of thought and desire. There is no self and other, as the awareness of pure, undisturbed consciousness slips into all consciousness. suffering. Impending suffering is more important than anything. We will end suffering. Impending suffering is not more important than anything. We will not end suffering. If I am suffering, it is because I am choosing something over ending suffering. We are not here to create and cling to beliefs. We are here to pay attention. We are here to use everything in our experience to see how we cause ourselves to suffer so we can drop that and end suffering.
Groups are recorded and made available to master members. So what shall we look at? Lakota.
I thought I've been in the practice of listening to old recordings recently.
Uh-huh.
It's been really fun.
Yeah.
Gosh, this seems so much. And listening to recordings around getting ready to come to the monastery.
Uh-huh.
A lot of people in my life were saying to me about it.
Uh-huh.
And like, it's so funny that it was ubiquitous. I mean, pretty much everyone, the most common thing was, I can't imagine doing that. I would go crazy. That would drive me crazy.
Uh-huh.
Or people saying, like, I would just go insane.
Uh-huh.
Like, just in silence to not talk to anyone and, like, sitting in front of a wall and all this stuff. Like, yeah, that would drive me crazy or that I would go insane.
Yeah.
And just, it's so... Yeah, it's just fascinating to see what an across-the-board kind of thing that is for conditioned mind to contemplate what we're doing here.
Mm-hmm.
It says that would drive you crazy and make you go insane.
Yeah.
And then taking it up to the next level to when there's actually some practice or the intention of practice. I was talking with, because most people say that in this kind of offhand way.
Yeah.
Oh, that would drive me crazy.
Yeah.
But I have a friend who, in a different kind of tradition, went to a couple of retreats. And he was talking, he was like so earnest. Bless his heart, because I know that place in me. You know, it was a tricky time when I believed it. But I remember he was saying, like, but aren't you concerned that if you do this enough, you'll actually go mad? Like, you'll lose your mind, kind of thing? And I was like, and I was
we can only hope.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Because I was sitting in that place of, like, that sense of humor about it on the other side.
Uh-huh.
But I was projecting that he was in that place of really fear, afraid.
Yeah.
Afraid of it.
For you, you're projecting that.
Mm-hmm. Not having kind of pushed through to the other side and believing conditioning's threats that if you do this, you're going to go nuts. And I remember that time in practice for me, like after the first few retreats, kind of like those conditioned fears.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it was terror.
Yeah.
It was that wall of terror that's designed to, like, okay, it's going to let me go a few steps down the path, but it don't go too far because threats of insanity and death kind of thing. It's like, geez.
Yeah.
And in this week, you know, celebrating giving thanks and gratitude, I'm just so profoundly grateful to be one of the lucky people that gets to know that that's not true.
Yeah.
To have, like, gone up against it, pushed through that to get to the end point to realize it's not, all the starts are empty.
Yeah.
There's nothing to it.
Yeah.
I can sit here this morning, I was sitting here facing the blank wall with attention on the breath. I haven't gone crazy yet. died. And attention on the breath, and all that was there was this like kind of serene, simple enjoyment. And this energy in this, I love the systems of that chakra class. Gosh. But watching the energy just play through the different chakras, dancing around. And it had that quality of like, you know, when I have like a really good cry, I just really cry and like let it all out. And then someone who really loves you is there, gives you a big, huge hug. And you just know that like everything is totally okay. There's this sense of being completely flushed out. And this deep love, this just this warm, sweet glow. That's what it feels like. That's all that's there. Right? I turn attention to the breath. And I get here, and that's the experience.
Yeah.
And it's like that. It's amazing that it's like that every time.
Yeah.
It's this repeatable kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, it's not that I always have the willingness to totally let go of the story and to get here present enough to have that experience. But when I am present, that's the experience every time.
Yeah. It's like the firewall of those different layers of fear, levels of fear, intensity of fear, is what is put there by conditioned mind. And what you're recognizing and experiencing is that when you are as one of the lucky ones, we might say lucky because it was also a heck of a lot of willingness and practice and everything, right? But to get through that the you know, I've heard the guy refer to it as the goodies. Right, the goodies that we get, that sense of well-being, the emptiness that is just the glow, the energy just sort of doing what the energy does, and getting to be one of the human beings who gets to experience that in their life, in their body, in this planet, Earth, you know, is truly just an occasion for great things.
That's an occasion for great things. I love that term, the firewall, because that's the only thing I feel like. This firewall, this barricade.
And first it's just getting warm. Oh, I think you're crazy. And then it's like, aren't you really? I mean, really?
Yeah.
You can really lose your mind.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I bet there are even deeper levels of fear that we've all experienced now around, okay, the gloves are off. Now, we're serious here. You cannot do this.
Yeah.
You know, all kinds of reasons that ego puts up. And,
and
here's the practitioner, just step by step, sitting, facing the wall, breathing, paying attention, doing the work.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, I love that. And it's not as though, like, okay, I've gone through it, and I'm there, done. And I never have to kind of go through that firewall again, because it seems like it's one of those things that kind of comes up, various as you kind of spiral around. But there's a sense in which, like, having gone up against it and gone through it once and really seen through it, it's just never got the same kind of believability.
Exactly. And, you know, it seems like what you're describing with the way you were sitting and the energy and the well-being this morning, that, you know, when we say things, when we hear the teachings that we sit not to be enlightened, but because we are enlightened, you had a real experience of that. And that doesn't mean that that's ever going to only be your experience of life ever from now on.
Yeah.
But, as you say, it can't ever be unexperienced. You can't ever go back to a real ignorance of that because it's in there. It's in the cells of the body. It's in the being now.
And then the last thing that I was seeing when you reflected back, that it's a being lucky and it's the work. It's that wonderful Thomas Jefferson quote that I'm a real believer in luck, and I find that the harder I work, the more I have of it. That's just so wonderful. It's the willingness to just keep taking the steps, no matter how loud the voices scream, just trusting in that deep faith that I trust that this practice is going to take me where the heart wants to go.
Yep.
Just keep taking the steps.
Yeah, exactly. That's all we're required to do is to keep showing up.
Yeah.
And the magic happens, as we say.
Great.
Thank you.
yesterday in a couple different forms to be reminded of something that is a beacon for me, but it's one of those things where even though you completely know it and then you just forget it. And it was a mirror for me that like, oh gosh, that's a piece of what's been going on. And I was listening to a recording that a group that Sherry was facilitating. That was one of the instances, and then life kind of orchestrated another one. But it was that reminder of the way I talk about it is don't avoid what there is to do, and don't invent things to do. Mm-hmm. And it's that place of, it can be a very subtle kind of place, mm-hmm. where it's like, there's a time where it's time to tidy the hermitage, and there's a time where it's not. Mm-hmm. And ego causes so much suffering by mixing those up. And so it would be like, okay, wait, I have 12 minutes between this thing and this thing. Let me go fold the laundry and put it away, and then here we go. And okay, good, because then that'll be at the end of the day, and da 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 da, mm-hmm. right? And what that creates is just pushing.
Yeah.
Just being pushed
yeah.
all day, every day.
Yeah.
And then there's another place where, there's this window of time. Let's fold the laundry, put it away. Completely different thing.
Yeah. Yeah, we want to say a completely different energy, different feel,
yeah.
different tone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it was yesterday, there was this space of 15 minutes of that where there was one thing that was supposed to be happening on the schedule and it was delayed. And I just sat down and had a cup of tea. I didn't go try to accomplish something else. I didn't go, well, this would be a time I could. I just sat down and had a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. And that's one of those, you can only be as happy as you can be.
Uh-huh.
I was just blissfully happy.
Yeah.
Sitting there doing nothing but drinking that cup of tea.
Yeah.
And so appreciating the, there's so much that could happen in there karmically for this person. Well, it's not supposed to be happening this way, it's the problem,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever. Oh gosh, if I, you know, again, 15 minutes, I mean, I could, later, that will mean that it's up.
Yeah.
Then I'll have another 15 minutes later if I do that.
Right.
Yeah.
So karmically, there's this predisposition, maybe, I don't know, to the drive, to the being pushed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay, I can get this done, and then this will mean this, or if that, you know, if that doesn't happen to be what karmic conditioning is pulling up, it can be, this isn't supposed, it can be dissatisfaction, I don't know, maybe blame, maybe whatever, you know,
mm-hmm.
whose fault it is,
yeah.
you know, whatever.
Yeah.
And what the human chose instead was to just sit down and have a cup of tea
mm-hmm.
and let, well, how do we say, however, the great capacity for happiness was experienced
mm-hmm.
in that having of the community mm-hmm. and choosing a different process than any of the other karmically
yeah.
disposed
processes. Yeah. Of course, what it feels like, and it's funny as you say that, because this is actually, now that I think about it, always an element of when the life process is happening versus the ego process, because it feels like I'm receiving it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I joke about Martha is the one who cleans up the hermitage
mm-hmm.
and tidies things and, you know, does all those sorts of things. And it, honest to God, is a feeling like someone did that for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's not I'm going to do it. Same thing with the tea. It's not like I'm going to choose to sit and have a cup of tea. Because, of course, actually, as I look at it, I'm going to choose and have a cup of tea. Could absolutely have that same feel.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to sit and have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
Well, why am I not relaxed? I mean,
mm-hmm.
this should feel really joyful, but it's not, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And in that other place, in that life-choosing place, it's like someone's caring for me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had this moment, what was it, the other night? I can't even remember what it was, but I forgot something critical back at the Hermitage. So I was back at the Hermitage, freezing cold. You know, and there was that, wow, we got to go get that thing. And I just had it, this sense of, you know, so there's that Martha cleans up the hermitage, just like, all right, this is a bigger job. This is not Martha's job. It's freezing cold, body's tired, we got to send in the stormtroopers. And there was that sense of, you know, we talk about there's the right person for each job, and so how suffering is caused by sending in the wrong person.
Yeah.
No, so the wrong person is like someone who's tired or cold or whatever.
Or just doesn't have it. Poor Martha just wouldn't have had it.
Yeah.
And required more than what she
had.
What
that did was, it's not her job.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I mean, she is completely willing to this and that, and you know, those things. But it's not her job.
Mm-hmm.
But the stormtroopers were like, no problem with the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's only like 25. It could be so much work. It could be pouring rain. It could be. And in fact, I was like, oh, and the stormtroopers love it. Like, you know, it's pouring rain. Put on a rain suit to get those rain barrels going.
Yeah.
Oh, great. You know,
yeah.
Just loves it.
Yeah.
Loves
yeah.
it. So just that place of, you know, life is caring for us perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
If that's what we're seeing, if that's what we're, yeah.
Because in that way you're describing of not being ego, it wasn't ego who sat down and decided to have the cup of tea.
Right.
Otherwise,
like, okay, we're going to have a behavior change here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I could go, but I'm not, because I think the other side is, I'll be the right person.
Uh-huh.
I don't have a cup of tea.
Yeah.
And that'll be the right, because that'll get me what I want.
Yeah. Which is to be the right person.
Well, or to suffer.
Yeah, right. We got the best quotes around.
Yeah.
And so in that not okay, so that wasn't the process that happened the other time that you sat and had the cup of tea.
Right.
It was being actually offered that, actually receiving that.
Yeah.
So here was life taking care of this person that was
yeah.
here. And there was no decision,
because
that's where the sort of what puts it in the ego camp.
Mm-hmm.
Just like with the stormtrooper example, there was a receiving maybe of the, maybe this is just my projection, that it's not like I am going to send in the right person for the job.
Mm-hmm.
It's like life just arises the right person for the job. And if we're not stuck in an ego process of kind of, you know, tug of war of who gets to decide who's there, you know, then we're just free to just respond.
Just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
do it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's interesting because I think what, as I say, with those reminders, it just made me realize how much that process of pushing has been happening.
Mm-hmm.
And just there's a project that sort of I'm working on, more like I'm stewarding, but. That's such a great, fun, amazing project. And it's time to wrap it up. get it to the completion stage. And so it's such a workshop that helping it wrap up and, you know, kind of without pushing.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Without pushing. And at the same time, as I say, it's an amazing project, so there's so much receiving in it.
Yeah.
But there's so much room for conditioned mind to take it to that, like,
yeah,
push through, come on, stay to the timeline, and sort of micromanage and control,
and if it's the only one that knows the timeline,
uh-huh.
You know, like,
right.
Life is really perfectly, I'm sure, aware of the real timeline, too,
you know,
what the intended timeline was, what maybe is the real timeline,
yeah.
And it'll be interesting to see that. In that same way you're describing with the tea, when the pushing isn't allowed or indulged,
right.
Who will I send in?
Right, exactly. That was the thing. And that was that recording that I was hearing Sherry talk about. It was just that place of watching for, she didn't use these words, but sort of that danger zone of, oh, I know. If I can just slip this in here, then that will mean that...
Mm-hmm.
You know, versus exactly as you're saying, what would it look like to be in that step back position? So not that sort of, I think for a long time with this project, I was just in that, well, I don't know.
Yeah,
I will never get done. that's kind of stretching out to infinity.
Yeah.
You know, so there's some middle way.
Yeah, in there. Exactly. It requires a great attentiveness, doesn't mm-hmm. it?
Yeah, and watching for those cues. Uh-huh. That? Where's the cup of tea and where's the...
Yeah. That is a great workshop. Yeah. Mark.
Well, I too am in a great space of gratefulness for having been here mm-hmm. and for all that it has presented. And for all that I have experienced, just being in the environment with the people mm-hmm. and with the projects and with nature and with everything, mm-hmm. And it allowed me to go to places that I suspect it would be difficult to get to were I not in this environment.
Yep.
one of the places that I've been looking, well, first of all, the email class is just. You know, opened up a big can of lots of things.
Yeah.
and I think that my project when I leave is going to be to go home and make up a chart that I can just have in front of me all the time so I'm aware of the energy cycles and the pieces. And, because that's something I'm really not too attuned to.
Uh-huh.
I am. I can be. When I focus and uh-huh. I kind of zero in on it, I can do that. But to be just kind of walking around in awareness, it's not something that springs up at
right. And so to have a chart, it would be keeping it in the front of your consciousness.
Right. Yeah, exactly. But what came up just in the last couple of days was this last week I've been practicing going to center and staying at center.
Mm-hmm.
And this last week, the question came up, and I don't even know if this is an appropriate question. Not appropriate is not the word. It could be just a sneaky way for ego to get in. That's mm-hmm. my own thing. But it seems to me that we're using the term center, presence, this here now, and life pretty much simultaneously
mm-hmm.
as meaning the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that I guess got me a little puzzled was when Sherry says center, she always does this.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's down here in the second chakra, which is the hara,
mm-hmm.
which is a place I've been paying attention to for a number of years now.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm noticing is that when I have attention on the second chakra, which is most apparent in meditation, but even when outside of meditation, if I can be quiet and pay attention to that, it feels like that I'm at center.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, it doesn't mean that the voices aren't there, because they are. And sometimes I'll go with the voices. But awareness is still present enough to know that that's where I'm at.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
And so, you know, coming back and going back and forth, that's when I lose that focus on the second chakra when I go to the story.
Uh-huh.
And trying to find my way back again is a lot more difficult. However, if I just look around out in the woods or whatever I'm looking at and get really in tune with what's present there,
uh-huh.
it feels like I'm back to presence again. I'm just not at that place.
Uh-huh.
Now, is this making any sense
at all? Yeah, it's been so interesting. I think I'm with you. So let me reflect a little to see if I know. So what you've been practicing with, we could say, is all of the different ways that the attention, where the attention goes, mm-hmm. and when it feels at, quote, center, and what does that even feel like? Because you're having all these different experiences, you know, life, this here, now, nature, here, Vikara, you know, all of that feel like center.
Mm-hmm.
But it sounds like there was a kind of a more defined definition or experience of center that you've been practicing with for years and years, which is keeping the attention on the hara.
Mm-hmm.
But that lately, being here, it's kind of busted wide open to all kinds of things like, well,
when I'm really in nature, when I'm just attending to the colors and the trees and everything that's really here for, and that sure feels an awful lot like what we describe as center.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so it sounds to me, this is my projection, I don't know if this is your experience, that what you're looking at is the attention moving around in the field of awareness.
Mm-hmm.
Because as you say, when you're with the voices, awareness is still aware of all that.
Mm-hmm.
But how would you know that if the attention weren't also someone's checking in with awareness?
Right.
You know? So the attention is with the voices, and then it's with the awareness, and then it moves to the heart, and then maybe it's with the breath, and then maybe it's looking at a tree or whatever. So the attention is moving around, but awareness is what is, we might say, holding it all.
That does sound right.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an amazing. You know, I've never done it quite like this before. I've had pieces of it, you know, this piece or that piece, that kind of thing. And I think awareness is fairly present most of the time. I know I go gone from time to time, but it doesn't seem to last that long, and then I can get back. Then the awareness sees that and brings it back.
Yeah.
But the other parts of it to me just feel like a great experiment.
Yeah.
You know, just to kind of get a notion as to what, not that it means anything.
Yeah.
I'm not. I don't think any of this means anything other than the fact that when I'm here, it seems that this happens, or this is my experience.
Uh-huh.
And when I'm there, I have a little bit different experience, but it's a good one, and it doesn't feel like it's leading me towards suffering.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's, you know, it's all those kinds of things.
Yeah.
And that's what I think that the energy practice is going to do as well.
Yeah.
Is to be able to take me to different places and allow me to have some experiences that I haven't had very much of.
Yeah.
You know. And just to check out.
Well, and to check in and to watch how. So as you're working with all of the energy, it'll be interesting to see where let's see, how to say this. So if the kind of who I think of as me is sort of, is I'm identified with the one who's practicing, say, being here with the heart. Okay. And the attention's here, and I'm here, and this is where I am in center. And as more and more as you see that awareness is holding everything and there's all kinds of experiences within the awareness, what happens with the identity of this is what I'm doing? So as we, you know, as we identify more and more with the various frequencies of energy and sensations and feelings and all that, and see that, ooh, it's just kind of all over, you know, it's just no limit.
Right.
The possibilities are endless. To watch that sense of, we might say, who Mark is, or what is,
well,
Mark?
I don't think that is even a question.
Yeah.
There is no Mark.
Yeah.
there really isn't. It's just whatever's going on.
Whatever is going on.
Yeah. Which is life. That's what we call life.
Yeah, that's what we call life. Yeah. And energy and this here now. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
So I've been looking at something. And I don't know how to make it go with what it's, so anyway, I won't talk out loud. So the thing I've been looking at is I've been doing something for a number of years, and it's time to do the next thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the picture I get of it when everybody's talking, there is so much, and I also attribute the energy, funny thing with energy, going on with the change of life.
Mm-hmm.
Internally in my body is going on. Mm-hmm. Now, that could be a complete story that I've made up. I don't know if it's true. But my energy is completely off. My emotional, it doesn't match. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
I think it must be hormones. But it doesn't match the conditioned way I believe things. So, for example, life is leading. It can't be any clearer. But it's like I am, you know, it's like the really good project that's wrapping up. Well, it's not really quite time yet, because it was so, but it's as if every time I say, well, just give me a few more, you know, I'll just do this one more. And I bet, you know, because it's like there's this block that comes in, like this, I mean, life is just making it so easy. Mm-hmm. You know, this thing is, so the image I keep getting is like, so imagine that this is life, and it's like dropping me in like a little mouse, and I go, boom, into the wall next to it, and somebody, the mentor's like, no, we're going to go this way. Okay. Boom, you know, into the wall next to it. And then, no, it's like this. Mm-hmm. And it's the oddest thing, because the energy thing that I'm talking about is usually, well, the thing I could relate to was the tea. So what ego does in my life is I'll have a moment where I'm just with life, I do the next thing, and then the next day, it was so good that day, but that must be the thing today. You know, okay, so here we are, we have another space, so obviously the next thing is to have some tea.
And be really happy
and peaceful again. When in fact there was some phone call that really could have been made or something, you know, that would have been the next. So ego wants a story, you know. Center looks and feels like this. But it always changes, you know. So I guess what I'm saying is, the way I'm feeling right now is a lot of agitation and fear, really, and excitement all at the same time, because it's so clear. The thing I loved about the monastery was the schedule, because all I had to do was do, and I noticed that if I go back to that right now, okay, Susan, all you have to do is go back to the breath. All that is required in this moment. You know, it's sort of, I don't even know the movie thing for it, but it's like the portal, the magic thing. You just do that and poof, you're in wherever. Well, you're in the moment, clearly. But, and all is okay. I remember, actually, you were looking at something the other day, and you rephrased, there's nothing wrong. You said, nothing is wrong. Nothing, if I just pay, none of it's wrong. It's all actually center and light. What my ego wants to do is say, if I'm living at center, I'm going to feel this way. Mm-hmm. Well, who knows? Because a lot of times I'm here, but it's ego that, I don't even know who's, I mean, but it's still like this. And, you know, it's so, anyway, it just seems so tricky because I can't go to here for an interpretation. You know, I'm just back into that believe nothing. Believe nothing.
Yeah. Well, as you say, it's all being very clearly laid out for you. It's just that it sounds like, so the mouse gets put in, clear, straight shot, no real question. But if the mouse is turning to, well, but yesterday it felt like,
right.
then it's like,
it must be a hard left.
Yeah. and then bam, into the wall. So the process that gets the human out of this here and now.
And the thing when you describe it is, there's nothing, I mean, it's not like evil or anything. You know, it's not like the devil's talking that little mouse into something. It's what it's always done. You know, it's sort of what worked yesterday. Well, it's got to work this day because it worked for 8 years.
Uh-huh.
You know, it worked for, this is the path. I get up in the morning and I go here.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's not, but there's so much more. Well, guess what? You know, that door is actually closed.
Now it's a brick wall.
It won't hurt you if you go to it. But that's when ego steps in. Well, no, it really isn't.
Uh-huh.
And, you know, the thing that you're being maybe asked to do, that's actually, you know, then it starts in the story. You know, that's actually not real secure, and it's new, and who knows?
I think I'd go crazy if I did
that. Exactly. Uh-huh. It's related. It's kind of like the modesty. I mean, it really is this thing I'm considering doing.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, you'll go crazy, and what if, and how come, and, you know. Who cares? It's the next thing. You know, when we're called to be at the monastery, as everybody here knows, there's no other choice.
Yeah.
There's a delaying it for a while. You know, there's a running into the wall. Well, maybe next year, or maybe in December, or maybe in...
Well, and there's something you said a minute ago that kind of going, making that turn is just, it's just what you've always done. It's just a habit. It's just a way you've been for the last 8 years or whatever it is. I'm just wondering if there's a level of going to sleep and that moment that happens. Because you sound very clear that this is really the direction that life is pointing me. I'm not really confused about that. It's so clear, it's so kind, it's so kind of everything. So in order to get the person off that path, there has to be something going on, like a level of assumption or going to sleep or habit or whatever. It's, you know, it's not this evil story that you're believing, but something that is causing the run into the wall.
I can handle the mentor or identify with the mentor and gently pull them out. That the thing that's getting me, and oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm so got, but the thing that I literally wake up in fear. Mm-hmm. I wake up in fear. And you know, I'm a six. This is not new.
But it's not you either, right?
It isn't me. Yeah. So here's the thing that it has doubled, the ego, now this is where the devil comes in, has done with it is, so fear I can practice with. I mean, I can practice with. I'm used to it. I'm a fix. But what it has done is added on a hopelessness about it. Or a defeated, like depressed. And really, I am talking out loud about it, of course, because I'm an extrovert, and so I walk around saying, you know, my kids, my family. And it is, so it's not, doesn't have me as completely, but in a startling way, that's where the hormone thing comes in. It's unfamiliar territory, real depression. I mean, kind of defeated or somewhat, but kind of like real quality in the body depression is not, I'm not as used to practicing with. And so that's what it's throwing in, which is so bizarre. And then all the self-hate and the things that are going to happen. And,
so it's really upping its game. More than just the garden variety fear, because you're kind of, you know how to practice with that. It's added a layer of hopelessness, kind of real depression.
Yeah, and like this, that it adds on whatever I'm doing. So if I think of changing, it makes me afraid of that. Yeah. And excited is ready is kind of close. But I wake up into the anxiety. And then there's the despair and hopelessness and defeated. But that's over both. That's over a change or no change. That's just a blanket bad.
So that's really pulling out the big guns.
Yeah, yes it is, because then what I want to do, of course, is just nothing.
Yeah.
Lay in bed all day.
Yeah.
You know, head cover up, and resent that I can't because I have all these responsibilities and, you know, people to take care of.
So what would be, so beyond all those people to take care of, what would take care of Susan?
Well, what I think would take care of Susan is walking the path, actually, in this case, is more like the Zen master, you know, when you ask, like, the stormtrooper or whatever. I think that's who's got to do it.
Yeah.
All right, you know, you don't have to do it. You don't see it clearly. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to go in on Monday morning. I'm going to tell the people we need to tell. It's been 6 months. We should have told them. But we're going to go in. And I'll tell you what else helps. And that won't be a surprise to anybody here, but like a lot of I added, you know, tons of meditation. And it's that whole thing of all I have to do is go to the breath.
Yeah.
And literally last Tuesday, woke up joyful, grateful for that project, so to speak. Totally knew exactly the words to say. You know, I mean, ego wants to say, you know, I'm out of here. F you, you're all crazy. But that's not true. It isn't really true.
Yeah.
But when I'm identified, I believe it's true.
Yeah.
But really, you know, just by practicing, that is a lot of self-care, as you know. It's my, I mean, I'm a meditator. Give me a sashin.
Yeah.
You know, that's,
Yeah.
So, like, actually, a mental health day where I just sit, walk, sit all day might be really awesome.
Wow, yeah.
For somebody like me in this time. And I did sign up for this retreat.
So up in your practice, conditioning up to this game. Of course, we got
our practice.
So maybe
the basics.
A personal session day and getting a retreat on your calendar and all kinds of practice supports that are available. And just sending in the person to do to tell the people that knows to have the words. Mm-hmm. You got the words. You woke up with the words. You know what to say. And sending the right person in the job to do that. And
yeah, that'll help. I think all those things will help a lot.
Yeah, the real changes that we've been talking about, the real changes of behavior that support the awareness expansiveness. Mm-hmm. And so here's a bigger world than what that despair and hopelessness and depression is trying to pin you in. Okay, I can sit. I can give myself this day. I can really do what is there to do.
And the other thing I thought of too that passed through, that just passed through again, was the depression book. So I remember years ago going on a depression retreat. I just went because it fit with my schedule. I really was not familiar with depression. Uh-huh. But as I was laying in bed one of these days, I thought, that book says, wear black one day. So maybe I should have two, a Tashin day and a depression party.
Because what you're really doing in all of that is supporting this person through this difficulty.
Yes, because what ego wants to do is say it's all bad, and it all means something.
Yep.
Well, it means something good or bad, either way. It wants to just make meaning out of it. I could identify with both things, but the tea, I've just seen it happen to me over and over and over again, that it grabs onto something.
Makes it mean something.
Yes.
And then what you're looking to do is practice with it.
Yeah. So I'll go record so I don't forget. How ego is. As soon as I walk out, what did it say?
Yeah. And it'll be
what am I supposed to do?
Yeah.
Worry. go snipe at everybody up at the house. All of a sudden, that tea, and we're going to have a good time together.
I heard about it.
Okay, I think we're supposed to have tea, and then I'm supposed to go live at the monastery.
Thank goodness for reporting.
So I had the experience of last week after just getting home from group, just kind of recording and listening with what I can do to support this being, and also through just recording and listening with the mentor, it was just, it's okay where I'm at, and that was just a huge. I haven't heard that from a mentor before, and it was just it took the duality of it's like wanting to feel okay. Yeah. I want to feel okay, and it's okay if I'm not, if I don't, and it just freed up, I think, just a lot of energy for me, and I scheduled a lot of meditations this week, and I just felt the grip of the story just loosening and loosening, and awareness and just compassion kind of being my default setting, really, and seeing that the story and maybe the little bit of content within this huge story that ego built in it was so small, and it was so and I was so adequate to. If that comes up for me again, I'm going to be okay. Mm-hmm. And just for this week, is just like, I feel like the future, projecting the future, and the past kind of fueling the projection of the future. And then just 7 minutes, I'm okay right now.
Yeah.
I'm okay right here. Mm-hmm. And every breath was, I'm okay. And I did feel my schedule. Practice it'll decrease the amount of meditations, and I felt the stories pick up, and it was just, and I felt that it was just clear. It's like it's a direct result of how much I'm practicing, and it was like a little meter up and down, and it took the whole personal nature of this. It's my fault. It's just me. It's like, wow, it's just a direct result to how much I'm willing to invest in this human being.
Yeah.
To be here now, as far as what my experience of life is,
yes,
and how just open it is. Doesn't mean there was no guarantee. Nothing special happened this week other than it was like I felt okay. Mm-hmm. And it was so powerful. And just walking out of my park today and just hearing my footsteps on the gravel. Mm-hmm. I almost got emotional. I was like so special to have this practice, to have this place that allows you to unravel, you know, just yourself, you know, maybe just untie, you know, the bonds of conditioning, and it was just amazing.
Oh, yeah. Gosh, there's so much in what you just said. You know, that sense of just hearing the crunch of the footsteps, of the, you know, what you're describing, you know, the exquisite experience of being here.
Absolutely.
Right? Yeah. And how, and you know, and everything that goes with that, you know, it's such a mysterious blessing of what the power in that, and just being here with what is, and what it does to the human being, with and for and supportive of the human being. That there's the adequacy, there's the sense of not taking anything personally. You know, like this whole big story that ego had woven, had spun, and really sort of jerking this person around and all of it. When we're here, we can see that it's not personal. There's just nothing that we're not adequate for in all of this.
Right. And I had to see how, and I got so wrapped up in the content where the story was already, it was there before, it's a different piece of content, just getting me out of this moment.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's the central, you know, piece to it.
Yeah.
And also, it's okay to get caught up in stories again, because it's going to happen.
Yeah.
And not be so like, okay, I feel good, I want to, I can't not let this feeling go.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go this way forever. And I feel like that's a pathway into suffering.
Oh,
right? Another story,
totally.
Right? Yeah. And so
not just you.
Right, yeah.
Because that's the resistance, isn't it? You know, that's what we were talking about, that clinging to, okay, good, I had a good experience of a cup of tea, now let's just hang on to it, right? And that's just another name for resistance, for whatever is in this moment.
Right, yeah. And there's never, when I'm with conditioning, I'm never safe. Like, I'm never, it's go here, you'll be safe, and I get to that spot, and it's just, why'd you go here?
Yeah.
and I'm just going around in circles, and I'm just so thankful for this practice to allow me to see, you know, just the big picture of what's happening to this person who so desperately wants to feel safe, and just can't when I follow, you know, my karma.
Yeah. The other thing I just want to underline about what you said is that direct proportion, that balance that you said, like a meter. So, you know, and just again, the impersonal nature of it all. It's not that there's any kind of moral imperative, okay, I should practice more so that ego doesn't get... It's not that. It's sort of a, when I practice more, meditate more, this goes down. I guess it's an inverse proportion, right? That is not, that it's just something so scientific about it, you know? It's and like, you know, we often say the Buddha never said we should end suffering, just that we can. So if I want to make this human feel safe and really be caring and supportive of this human being, here's a meter for me that helps, that's a very useful tool. And I can just use it for the benefit of this person that I'm in. Responsible for stewarding this life.
Right. Yeah, and there's no discussion either, because it's just clear, like, wow, it was experiential, you know.
Yeah.
You know, discussion that had to happen.
Yeah. That doesn't mean anything. I mean, we can watch those stories. As you say, the stories will get spun again. Well, this means this and the other. And they're going to get more and more subtle, you know. But as you're pointing out, you can feel the difference. You can sense it. And that's what we're doing, isn't it? In practice, we're practicing calibrating to, the life frequency and the ego frequency, and we can tell the difference.
Right. And the other big piece was, like I said, was having the mentor just say it's okay to be identified.
Yeah.
And that's such a huge thing that I just want to keep in mind where I was.
Oh, yeah. We're listening to that one a lot, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been an amazing, amazing group, just an heroic practice. I've just been watching the energy and just feeling like awareness registered that there was kind of tension in the stomach as it relaxed, as I was just getting here and listening, and really it felt like it was a holding on of that orientation of it is possible to make a mistake.
Uh-huh. Like that was what that tension was, that kind of, if it had words it would be saying that.
Mm-hmm.
It is possible mm-hmm. to make a mistake.
Mm-hmm. And because I was just watching the workshop of this morning, I'm stewarding the lunch today, and the workshop was, there are things to do before group and then there are things to do after group, and so the workshop is being here even when this thing is halfway. Because I just got to see that there's some level of pressure about it, and some level of it would be possible to make a mistake.
Uh-huh.
And somehow in the conversation, there was just a getting it more deeply in the bones that that's not so, and life is taking care of everything perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, say there was a delay, then that could be the perfect opportunity for a person to awaken with a cup of tea. and it's just that level of... that level of not about me, you know, not about how I'm reflective, not about any of that, just that life is taking care of everything perfectly, and just that subtle relaxation of the body, just that little bit of release of tension in that, and just that getting here has just been amazing.
Oh, and there's this person doing this workshop in groups, watching it all, and with that sense of it's not about me, and feeling and getting to watch and feel the tension just dissolve. It's like it's about everyone, including me. Mm-hmm. You know, like so the human really gets the benefit, ironically, of it not being about the human.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. Isn't that cool?
Very, very cool.
Yeah.
Just, Yeah. And it's just such a big place of kind of exploration, because I heard somebody say to me recently, you know, it would be possible to say, I'm feeling trepidation about this task, can I have some assistance about this? And what I saw was there's some level of feeling trepidation about everything.
And it's like,
okay, today.
Yeah.
But like this, and what there's some level of pressure being pushed, a conversation that's creating, and you know, and in that the abandonment of the person who's doing the thing, and not being quite here with it. That there is that trepidation by everything. So,
Well, and what's dropping in is what we were just talking about, with the mentor saying, and it's perfectly okay to feel trepidation about everything, because it's only in that, and you really shouldn't feel trepidation about everything. God, you know, that is that tightness, and there's something wrong, and it's all about me, and what can I do about this? And the mentor is coming in. And that's what I predict was being offered, with that, well, it's okay to say that. Maybe they said it. I feel trepidation is a life and support, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Because that's been a big bit of the experience of this week, of just, you know, being in it and knowing I'm in it and getting the encouragement to just give into it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And feeling in that, like, just getting it that there's nothing wrong with identification, is that we're being taken care of perfectly in that.
Yeah.
You know, that it's like, you know, so a big karmic storm comes in, and if like
it's somehow like staying in gratitude for that. It's like we've said yes. There's this karma that's ready, you know, like somehow, you know, it's been kind of sent through.
Uh-huh.
And there's a place to bring compassion where there's been, where authenticity's been abandoned and
yeah.
been tortured.
Yeah.
And, and just to, yeah, just really taking the gift of all of that.
Yeah. Let me see if I'm with you on that, because it feels really, really big, what you just said. So there's this karmic storm that's blowing through,
mm-hmm.
and here's this person who has kind of signed up through her lifestyle choice of living here to say, okay, I'm committing to being present to whatever is here.
Mm-hmm.
Karmic storms or butterflies and bliss, it doesn't matter. I want to be here for all of it,
mm-hmm.
right? And so letting that just happen, or as you just said, sort of giving into it, is the movement from, is the movement that saves the human from the perpetual karmic storm. In the sense of, I'm not going to avoid it, I'm not going to resist it, I'm not going to think there's anything wrong with it, or even if I do, I'm going to do that. But whatever is here, that's what I'm signing up to be present to. Without any resistance whatsoever.
Yeah.
And watching the transformation that happened, I guess, because of that.
And really, like, and really feeling like how we're being taken care of perfectly by life, and the love of that in the karmic storm being set at this time.
Yeah, I'm remembering what someone once said in a group that, you know, Mika's heart's desire is to wake up and end suffering. And so in life's wisdom, I really needed to have a lot of suffering in order to be able to receive my heart's desire, which is to wake up and end suffering.
Yeah.
So there's nothing outside of what life is. What life is.
Right. Yeah. that feeling of it's not possible to make a mistake, or there's nothing wrong, that there's nothing outside of any.
Yeah. Good point.
Well, I just want to say, I've been really touched this morning by what a projected love and kindness
mm-hmm.
that I see being practiced.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just extraordinary to sit in a group with and have that be the focus of attention of everyone.
Mm-hmm.
To me, I'm just feeling that extraordinariness. And it's reminding me of that which you are seeking is causing you to seek.
Mm-hmm.
And I just getting that it's that love that's causing that seeking
mm-hmm.
in each of us.
Mm-hmm.
And how certainly there could never be anything wrong with any of that. And just, I don't know, I'm just really feeling like, I don't know that I ever really understood that. You know, that which you are seeking is God, and you should seek. It's like, it's another one of those things, like, what the heck?
Yeah.
I don't know, I'm just feeling, having that experience this morning.
Yeah.
And it's, and, you know, as so many people said, it's, you know, it's just not a, it's not a, an I. It's making this choice to, certainly I had a lot of that, like, you know, oh yeah, I'm going to be a better person, you know, I'm going to learn how to love, but it's, you know, just having that, something bigger than that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it sounds like that, sitting there, as you're describing, you know, having, listening to group and just delighting, enjoying, experiencing mm-hmm. all of the love, mm-hmm. all of the willingness that, mm-hmm. that people are demonstrating mm-hmm. through their practice, mm-hmm. and I'm sure you're owning the projection, right?
Yeah.
That the small I is totally dropped, because otherwise there couldn't be that experience that you're just describing.
Yeah.
It's bigger.
And I just thought as you were saying that too, just having had that experience in group this morning of that love reaching in and mm-hmm. and bringing this human into the experience of
yes,
it.
Exactly.
Because there was this moment of withdrawing, mm-hmm. you know, from the energy of the group. And then it was this love just that I reached in mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. said, here you go,
wow.
you know. Mm-hmm. And so so that's the moment in which that was available.
Ah, mm-hmm. beautiful.
Yeah.
There we go.
Cool.
All for you.
Yeah.
What you were speaking is reaching in
yeah.
and bringing you into the love.
Yeah.